Hi, welcome to the Live Beautifully podcast. I'm Katrina and I am so grateful that you're here. Today we have a very special episode that is also on YouTube. I will put the link to my channel, Katrina Scott Lifestyle, below in the show notes so you can head there and subscribe. You won't want to miss it because part of today's episode was a style segment and that's only on the video version of the show. If you didn't see, I launched Live Beautifully on YouTube where each week I'll be airing episodes from my house. Neighbors, friends, and experts are stopping by, chatting on the sofa, which some of those will be podcast episodes. We'll also be doing cooking lessons in the kitchen, which I'm really, really looking forward to. And of course, my favorite holiday crafts, DIY projects, and decorating and seasonal segments. And for all of you that really miss Chef LL Briscoe, he has promised to make some appearances. I'm so excited because the show is, you know, it's in our home. It's super authentic to who we are and where we are in our life and what we want to learn. And we already have some amazing guests lined up and of course plans for the holidays. So again, check it out. Check out the channel in my show notes and subscribe there. And let's get going with the show today. My heart is racing right now. I am so excited for today's guest. And there is something so special about her that you will see. And she has the purest heart. And most of all, she is an incredible mom and a wife and friend. 13 years ago, I met her. We'll share more about our story. But she's also the most courageous woman that I've ever met or witnessed and seen. And if you saw Bella's little morning mantra where it's bravery and courage is doing something not knowing the outcome, but doing it anyway, when you have fear inside of you, when you're nervous, when you don't know what's going to happen, but you know that it's the best thing for your heart and your family. And she defines that. Her name is Sarah Barron, which many of you have seen her throughout the years. She is also a talented stylist and again, just the purest heart in the entire world. And I'm so excited that she's coming over. And we're gonna talk about all the things and her story. Here comes Sarah. I was just so nervous introducing you because I was thinking about everything and I probably talked for like, are you sweating?
So much. I'm like, racing. I'm sweating.
Me too. I mean, we've been talking about you sharing your story for so long. But I could really talk for like an hour about how amazing you are and how I just cherish our friendship so much.
I love you.
Sorry, I'm clammy.
No, I mean, do you feel me?
I do.
Like cold and clammy and all the things.
We have kombucha just so if we turn into like Fire Marshal Bill with our
dry mouth
for like, anyway.
Thank you for providing that for me.
So we have a few exciting things that we're going to do with Sarah today, but to start off, I would love for you to introduce yourself for anyone that has never met you or seen you even on the Instagram.
Yeah, I'm on the Instagram. I'm Sarah Barron, as you all know already. I'm a wardrobe stylist. I work with influencers, celebrities, and I work on ads and marketing, and it's just, I love fashion. I love styling.
She helped me today.
Yeah, I did. She looks very fallish, very chic.
She helped me zip up these pants, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a full corset. Look at this happening. And we did the whole thing together.
We stuck right there. But we got it.
I feel like you're so talented, and I'm always going to you for all the advice.
Oh, thank you. I have so much fun doing it. You helped me, like, push me to start doing it.
I feel like we should talk all about that. How did you get your start in styling and fashion?
Well, so I've worked in the fashion industry like my whole life. I started in wholesale sales. And then I did a little bit of modeling where I met a ton of people. And then I did some PR for a fashion company. But I always knew that styling was it. That's what where my heart was and what I wanted to do. But it's kind of a scary thing to break into. There's so many amazing stylists out there. So I was always kind of scared. But then I kind of, because of what I went through, I kind of broke into styling and didn't look back and wasn't scared anymore. So And then you have two kids.
Yep. 7 and 8. Brooklyn will be 9 this weekend.
Yay. We're doing a little birthday party.
Going to the beach. She's been talking about it for about 2 months. So I hope that it's everything she dreamed of.
Okay. We're going to get right into your story. For anyone that does not know it, you may be familiar, during COVID, we did Strong for Sarah. This is Sarah. Let's start with how you were feeling before you discovered a lot of what happened.
Okay, yeah. So for a while I was having just kind of IBS issues, kind of cramps, so exhausted, but I thought that it was kind of just being a mom, motherhood, you know. So a lot of these things I just kind of ignored for a little while and just kept going.
And we were at hot yoga together.
Oh, yeah.
You were like doing hot yoga.
Doing all the things. Yeah. I started having like weird back pains, I remember. Mm-hmm. And I think that was associated with it, but I'm not really sure. But then it's going to start getting real. I started having blood in my poop. I was just like urgently going to the bathroom all the time. And I knew that wasn't normal. And so I started talking to some doctors. I was 34 at the time, and they thought maybe it was like, I don't know, hemorrhoids, internal hemorrhoids, mm-hmm. or just everything else was just healthy, active. I looked fine on the outside. I was living my life. So no one was really taking it very seriously, but I knew something was off. And then finally I went and saw a GI, and she thought that it was a parasite, mm-hmm. which was kind of crazy. And then finally, like, I'm not a pushy person. I usually am like, okay, whatever you say. But I called, and there was one day that there was just so much blood in my poop that I knew it wasn't normal. And I called and I said, you've got to get me in. This was around the beginning of COVID. It was like April 2020. Yeah. And so things were starting to shut down. They weren't really taking patients, but I really was pushing to get in there again. So I got in, I brought a picture of what was happening. I told her, this is not a parasite. I really need to get a colonoscopy. This is not normal.
Wow. And so you asked for one.
Yes. You have to be your own advocate. I know it's embarrassing and no one wants to talk about poop and
guess
butts.
What? Everybody poops.
Everybody poops.
Everybody has a butthole. If you're lucky, you have a butthole.
So I get it all out.
Yeah.
There's such a stigma behind colonoscopies and poop and mm-hmm. butts. And there shouldn't be. Like, everyone, this is going to save your, if you're having poop issues, you've got to go get it checked out. Don't be embarrassed. It's a doctor.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know your body. So we've got to get over that. Then she said, okay, yeah, you're going to need a colonoscopy. And a couple days later, they got me in because everything was closing down. And so they needed to get me in. I was the only person in the space when we did it that day.
I feel like that was also so brave of you because we were all so afraid of COVID that none of us were going to the dentist. Mm-hmm. No, I had like an eye appointment. I was like, I don't want to put my
eyes on. I was like spraying my groceries.
Yes. Yeah.
Sanitizer.
And then I feel like we all stopped going to the doctors and like pushed mm-hmm. things off because we're like, okay, this is only 2 weeks being home.
Yeah.
A month or 2 months. Like, oh, wait, it was so good that you're like, no, I need to go in.
It was just this gut feeling. It was time to take things in my own hands.
Yes.
And so I did the colonoscopy, woke up from it like so loopy. I was like talking to the nurses about what I was like, I was at a concert. I don't know even what I was just being so silly when I woke up. Cause mm-hmm. I didn't think like it was really cancer. I thought it was something serious, but I didn't know that it would be cancer. And they were really serious. They called my husband in. We went into this dark, scary room. It like triggers me thinking about it. And she said that they found over 100 polyps on my colon and a mass on my rectum. So then, I mean, Brian and I, our life like had turned upside down at that point. We were like, what? We didn't know if we needed to get like a second opinion. Was this real? Like, it had to be real. It was the colonoscopy, like it shows. And she actually, like, right then and there was like, you need to like go into surgery tomorrow. But luckily, Brian and I were like, no, we need to like figure out our options here. We need to figure out
what were they going to do in that surgery?
So in that surgery,
which I'll get more into all of this, but they probably would have just taken my colon out and I would have an ileostomy bag.
Yeah.
Which I did end up having one for a little while, and I'll tell you all of the details for that. I don't anymore. I feel very lucky, but if they would have done it right then and there, I probably would have gotten an ileostomy bag and had it forever, because I think that they would have rushed into it. So it's so important to like find the right doctors and kind of figure out the process and do your research. And I'm so lucky. My husband was really great at that because I was so scared and didn't know what was going on. So he kind of like took control and took charge and was so, he was so strong.
When we got the phone call from your husband, Brian, we were sitting right here and he called Brian, which I feel like when they text, when they call each other, it's like,
they know it's serious.
Yeah. And during COVID, we were like, figured maybe you guys had COVID. It was one of the first people that we like knew that had it or something.
Because it was at the same time, my kids get cancer and COVID confused because it all happened. We'll get into that too. But yeah.
That is so crazy. So he called and he was calm, but he was like, are you guys sitting down? And then immediately we were like, oh my God. And then he just said, you know, Sarah has cancer and we're taking the steps as a family. I feel like when, obviously, as a family, when you're a mom too, it's not an illness just for that person. It's, it becomes the family has this.
100%.
It's like, he was like, this is what we are doing. And
because everyone's going through it. It wasn't just me. My kids were going through it. He was going through it. It was just like, we were all.
Yeah. And I feel like at that time, your entire world was flipped upside down because you were living right down the street, renting a place while your house was being renovated. Mm-hmm. You guys were like already. So just things were crazy. And then it was COVID and then now this.
Yeah.
How did you tell your family?
Gosh, again, Brian was so amazing through it all. He, gosh, I feel like it's all such a blur. I don't remember if I told my, I think that Brian called and told my mom and dad and my brothers. Mm-hmm. And then when I kind of like could get myself together, I got on the phone and talked to them about it. And we all just kind of, it's so blurry, but we decided that we had to be real with the kids. We told them that I did have cancer because we wanted to be open about everything. But we made it not scary. We made it seem like it's the good kind of cancer. I'm going to be okay. When I went to get chemo, I was going to be coming home with a bag with the chemo that had a drip for 48 hours. So I wanted to give them a heads up about that. And I told them that it was my magic and that it was helping me get better. I said that every time I would go to the doctor, I'd bring home stickers. And we just kind of made it like as fun as we possibly could, just because I didn't want them to be nervous or scared. And I have so many amazing friends that supported me through all this. And I had this wonderful family who had been through something similar, but it was actually their child. And they kind of helped me figure out how to talk to the kids about it. So I was very lucky to have them in my corner. And I mean, my little babies, they were 3 and 5 at the time, and they were just so resilient. I mean, it's kind of lucky that they were so young that they didn't quite understand. But now they're 7 and 8 and questions are kind of starting to come up about it.
Yeah.
But I think the way we handled it, I mean, everyone handles it differently and everyone has their own approach, but that's how we handled it with the kids.
We would like stop by because during COVID you would just kind of do little drive-bys in the street. And it's so weird thinking that they were 3 and 5 because they were older kids for me because Bella was so young. And I remember thinking, but like, they were babies.
I know.
But I was like, wow, they're doing well with this. And you had, like, wasn't it like a fanny pack? It almost looked like
it was like a thing across. I put across my, it looked like a little like purse. Mm-hmm. And it had the drip in it. And I have a port. I still have it. And it was a needle goes into your port and drips. And I had it so I would go into the hospital. And I don't know how many hours I was there, and I would get so many hours of chemo, and then I would come home with the bag and do chemo for 48 hours. Mm. And then at home, Brian would take the needle out
which was so scary the first time. We were so scared, but then he became a pro, which was also amazing. Mm-hmm. And he would have to do, like, the poor guy, he went through so much.
You went through so much
too. I know, but it was just...
What was the feeling with the diagnosis? When you drove home, do you remember talking?
No, or? I feel like we were just kind of in shock, but we were like, okay, we can do this. This is going to be fine. We're going to figure it out. There was no, like, we couldn't be negative because we couldn't for the kids. We could, I needed to be positive for, like, I wanted my mom to not worry about her baby girl and my dad. And I don't know. We just kind of went into, like, fight mode. And you just get this strength that you don't know you have, and you just kind of hold on tight and fight for your life, I guess.
What was going through the treatments like?
So when I got the results, we figured out our doctor. I got my port put in probably like a week later. I did 12 rounds of chemo total. I did 6 rounds, and then I had a major surgery, which is when I got my ileostomy bag. Mm-hmm. And I had that for 5 months. The reason I had to have one is because they did take out my entire colon, because they, with over 100 polyps, that's what you have to do. Basically, I mean, the body's an amazing thing. They went in and they created a new colon with my, so the colon is your large intestine. They took my small intestine and created a pouch inside of me that would be my new colon. And then while that was healing, I had my ileostomy bag. I have like taken a while to process all of this. And this is the first time I've really opened up. Like, there's some people in my life who don't even know that I had one. And so but I feel like it's time to talk about it. It's real. Mm-hmm. It happened to me. So anyway, so I had that for 5 months. Then I did another 6 rounds of chemo. Which was probably the hardest part, because doing those two things at the same time was kind of brutal. And then I did, after the last 6 rounds of chemo, I did another surgery to reverse it. They removed the bag. I was healed on the inside. And then after that, we found out that it had metastasized to my lung. So I had to do another surgery, a wedge resection, and I had to do radiation. So it was just a lot, but you asked me about chemo.
Can I just, like, side note? I feel so weird with you talking about this and I'm not touching you. I just want to be, like, on you and be like.
But you've given me so much love, like, always.
To rewind for a second, when she had her bag, we weren't really seeing anyone. We just started to just quarantine together, but I went over there and she was, I have my bag. I saw and.
Yeah, I showed it to you, that shows true friendship right there.
You were really like, okay, this is my reality right now. And you were always looking forward. And so when I think of Sarah too, I'm sure it's taken a long time for you to be able to talk about this. But yeah, even when you were in it, you were always hopeful. And even when you were dealing with everything, you weren't a victim of what was happening, and you still aren't. You were continuing to be a survivor. So you were surviving the day, which I have goosebumps even thinking about, because I feel like we all get into this, like, oh my gosh, these things have happened to me, no matter how big or small. But you were a survivor even when you were in it. And that way about you is just, I feel like that's why you're here, is that you just, I don't know.
Well, I feel like I was so lucky to have so many people around me supporting me. Like, you, the first day of chemo, I wake up, Brian brings in my phone, and it's this amazing video that Katrina rallied up all of our friends and my family. Mm-hmm. And they showed me this video of everyone doing 10 push-ups and saying strong for Sarah. And I watched it before every single chemo treatment. Like, I'm so lucky to have you. You were there every single step of the way. You're such an amazing person and friend. And it's people like you that got me through it.
When a friend or a family member has, like, a diagnosis, you start to, like, it's part of you. Like, Sarah is so part of me that I was like, what are we doing
to get through this together. And it was so hard because like we felt like we couldn't even be together. And then your family, we'll show some of the video and like the part where Brian does his push-ups. Like I just like, okay, what did you feel every day that you woke up while you were in this? Was there like a mantra that you told yourself, or was there something that got you through? Because it could apply to so many people that are just in it right now, whether it's a cancer diagnosis or a really difficult time in their life.
I think that your faith either goes one way or another when you're going through something like this. Mm-hmm. My faith grew a lot during this time. I felt like, gosh, now I'm going to cry. I felt like God had a plan for me and that I was going to get through this so that I could help others and spread awareness. And I had to be strong for my kids and my family. And I chose to take the, and I definitely had days where I woke up and I was pissed and why me? Why is this happening to me? Am I going to die? Like, it's so scary. But I chose to push forward, be strong, be optimistic. My husband was so strong. My parents were so strong. My brothers were unreal. My kids, like, I looked at them for just to get through. Mm. I think that for me, it was just having faith and just being optimistic. I know I hate even saying that because when you're going through it, it's hard to be optimistic, but something gave me this like inner strength I had to just be strong.
So after 12 rounds of chemo and then 6 or more rounds of radiation, then were you just waiting to hear?
So now I'm just on surveillance. I'll be looked over for the rest of my life. But right now, every 3 months I go to the doctor, I get my CT scans, my blood work, and just see where my numbers are, see if they see anything. My last one was, everything was clear, is the first one in a while because they keep seeing things on my lung that they think is something and then it's not. So every 3 months. And then once I have about a year of every 3 months clear, then it'll move to 6 months. Mm-hmm. Right now I still have my port, but hopefully that will be getting removed like as we start getting more and more clear scans.
How did you find your doctor?
Through friends who, and also we worked with the cancer support community, and this amazing woman, Kim Thibodeau, she just held our hand and showed us the way.
Yeah. What was the biggest thing that you learned about yourself?
Oh gosh, if you would have told me, young Sarah in my 20s or teens or whatever, there's no way that I would have thought that I would have handled it the way that I did. But I think, again, I think kids do something, change you.
Was there anything that you changed about like your beauty routine, your everyday routine that you're like, okay, I need to be like,
everything. You've got to live your life, but I try to use more clean products, no aluminum in my deodorant. I can't have added sugar anymore, and added sugar is in everything. So sometimes you can just give in a little bit, but they want me to stay away from red meat. Those are all things that cancer kind of feeds off of. Mm. And so it's just a much just cleaner diet and clean living. Yeah. I do my best. It's hard to be perfect, but I do my best.
That's all we can do. What was something that you maybe weren't surprised in, but that you noticed about Brian in the process?
His strength and his optimism and his, I'm like, wow, this guy really loves me a lot. Like, he just handled everything because he knew that I was just fighting for my life, so he had to do everything else. I mean, I would have panic attacks trying to change my bag, and he would come in there and help me do it. Like, this guy has seen it all. And it's just true love.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just an amazing human being, and I'm so lucky.
Wow. I feel like as we grow older too, we start to see our partners in their most vulnerable places. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in such a different way. And you step up and like, there's nothing. I remember even, I mean, this is silly, but like Brian lowering me on a toilet to go to the bathroom after having a C-section. Cause like, obviously you can't sit down.
Yeah.
And your past self can't even picture yourself like doing that in front of your partner, but you do it. And then there's like no questions asked.
No, you it's don't like, even.
Wow.
It's just real life.
Yeah.
I mean,
when we stopped by, I think it was like Will's birthday. We were like dropping something off and Brian, I was like, oh, is Sarah home? And it was one of those things where we'd never wanted to pop by and surprise you. And I think it was at one time your bag was leaking and you're upstairs and he's like, I gotta go, her bag is leaking. But he like had it covered, but he felt comfortable enough to tell us.
Yeah.
And then I was texting you and you were like, sorry,
just dealing with handling the normal up here.
It just put things in perspective, I think, for everyone around you too, is that there's so many little things throughout your day that the little stressors, they didn't really matter. And it put things in such a different light for all of us.
Yeah, like it put so much in perspective. The things that used to be, I don't know, I look at everything so much differently now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, this is good. We're just like, we're like, we just are going to have a normal conversation today. We're like, before this, we're like, why are we so nervous?
I'm such a nervous Nelly.
If you could go back and tell younger Sarah, 30 years old, just something or a mantra or anything to live by, like what would you tell her?
Don't worry so much about everyone else. Like just do you, be yourself, and don't sweat the small stuff.
Meanwhile, we're like literally sweating. This is a big thing. Tell me a little bit about what you're working on and also share your shirt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
I'm wearing my colonoscopy enthusiast shirt. I'm actually so excited. I'm starting this company with two amazing women, Brooks Bell and Christine Bronstein. They're brilliant, amazing, strong women who are also colon cancer survivors. We're basically building this community that drives awareness to colorectal cancer and also the importance of getting colonoscopies early. Mm-hmm. Colonoscopies are actually the one screening that actually prevents cancer because you can get the polyps and before they turn into cancer, you know, so it's so important. But there's also going, I don't want to say too much, but there's also going to be a really chic, cool clothing line involved. So stay tuned for more. I'm very excited about it. I feel like for the longest time I was processing everything, but now I'm ready to really give back and get involved in the colorectal world and help others. And it's very exciting.
I'm so inspired by you. I'm proud of you.
I'm so inspired by you. I love you.
I love you. I told you already, but I have an appointment with a GI doctor.
Good job.
And I'm going to be 40 very soon, and I'm getting a colonoscopy. When I asked to be introduced to a GI doctor, it's kind of met with like, well, why? What's happening? And kind of like Sarah being her best advocate, that's what I did. I just said, I would like to get one. I just want to do it just because. And she was like, okay, so I have the introduction and then I'm going to be getting one. I'll share when I get it. I think normalizing it, like you're saying, and why not if it could save your life? And then also, even if everything's good, if you can get one and then share with your loved ones that you're doing it, it can really bring inspiration to other people to get it one too.
Yeah, 100%. It's so important.
Yeah. And anything, like if you feel a lump in your breast or if you see something on your skin, like going to get it checked out. Someone just told me the other day that they were like, oh, I have blood in my poop. And I was like, oh my God, well, you should get a colonoscopy and get that checked out.
And also, so colon cancer is actually one of the most preventable cancers and like beatable cancers if you catch it early. But then once it gets into the later stages is when it's a lot harder. So it's important to catch it early.
I'm so happy that you're here.
Oh, I love you. I'm so grateful for you.
Okay, so during COVID and during all of this crazy chemo and radiation and everything, I was coming over and highlighting her hair.
I know.
And
gosh, you're an angel.
She has so much hair that, like, you were losing a lot of hair.
So I had so much hair to begin with, and I was actually going through the chemo that you don't really lose your hair, but I think my body was going through so much trauma and, like, malnutrition and just, like, the scans and the surgeries that I was
stress.
I was just losing a lot of hair.
Yeah.
And
she was just like, I still need my highlights, girlfriend. And yeah, I was like, I got you. Yes. I'll put it back. It looked great. As I was doing your hair, you were like, oh my God, am I losing any of my hair? And I feel like you were, but like, it was still like so beautiful and you were still you that it's so weird even thinking, oh, like she's going through all this. It just still felt super surreal.
I like felt like I still needed to, I mean, the days that I was sick in bed, obviously, no. Mm-hmm. But then when I was finally feeling like, okay, good, I wanted to like get up and just put on a little bit of makeup and do my hair and just feel a little bit like myself again.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. But we did it. We put in some highlights.
She helped me. She did my hair. She helps. She helps me with all of my things. I think you probably like painted my toes at one point. I don't know.
Oh, that was before your boudoir shoot.
Oh,
okay. Before you got married. That was a while ago. Oh my God, that was like 12 years ago. No, 11 years ago. Okay.
Been through it all.
When I was doing your hair though, we were talking about not if I survive this, when I get through this, mm-hmm. what do I want to do? And you told me that you wanted to get back into your craft because obviously like motherhood and all the things kind of you take a step back, obviously so many sacrifices to raise your children. I want to get back into my lane of genius. And I say lane of genius, you didn't call yourself a genius, but you're like, I want to style again. And so you're doing it.
Yeah. So I'm doing it. There were so many times during when I was sick that I was like, when I am out of this, mm-hmm. and it kind of like gave me something to like look forward to and push for. And so when I like finally got to the point where I was done with my final surgery and mm-hmm. done with chemo, I knew that I wanted, if I was going back to work, it was styling. And I'd started a little bit right before I got mm-hmm. sick, but it was time to go full steam ahead. Mm-hmm. And we did my brand. You helped me with my brand shoot.
That was so fun.
And we got my website up and I started getting clients. Thanks so much. You've helped me mm-hmm. get my client.
It's a lot of hard work.
And I'm so happy. I love it. It's a perfect balance with I can still be at my kids' sports events, but
soccer.
Soccer is just taking over life.
I'm like, hey, what are you doing? She's like, soccer. I feel like we now need to get into soccer just so like we can talk about soccer.
It's so fun. I was a soccer player, so I like I love it.
So cute.
But it's taking over. But it's a great balance. I'm able to, you know, take the jobs that I can and the work with, you know, mm-hmm. amazing people. And it's my creative outlet and I just love it so much.
And
so
you always now, show up for everybody and all your friends and do like,
well, it sounds like someone else. I'm know.
I love you. I'm like, hey, will you not only help me style, but will you also be my model for KSL if you recognize her also from KSL.com?
I'm on the site.
My website, KSL the label. You truly are like Wonder Woman. It's incredible. Is there anything that you want to share? Obviously, we're going to do our styling segment. So Sarah's going to share with us what we're wearing because it's a little confusing time for fashion, at least for me.
Yeah, we're like transitioning into fall. So
yeah, and just life. But before we do that, I would love for you to share anything to anyone that's listening. If anyone is going through a difficult time or a difficult diagnosis, what would you tell them?
Take a breath. Surround yourself with the most incredible people that you know that are going to help you get through it and be strong, and just take it day by day and know that like you can do, you're stronger than you think. And mm-hmm. also, can I give my, like, if anyone wants to reach out to me, My email is info@sarahbaron.com. If you want to reach out, I would be happy to chat with you about all the things. I'm an open book and I'm here for you, and I've been through it. So you've got this.
Got this.
Yeah.
I forgot one more question and then we'll go into the next thing. But how do you live beautifully?
So I think that I would answer this question now differently than I would in the past. Yeah. Now I think just slowing down, taking in all the little moments, spending time with my family, taking in the little moments that I would take for granted before. I learned so much through all this experience, and I think that it's important to slow down and live your life and just try not to be so worried about everyone else and the hustle and bustle, and just, it's okay if you don't have to do it all. Just see the important things in your life and hold them so tight and love them forever.
Yeah. You say, like, I wouldn't take certain things for granted. Is there anything that comes to mind that you took for granted before that now you're like, that you notice?
Yeah, just the days that I was so tired and exhausted just being a mom and like, oh my God, I have to like take this cup and put it in there and they're yelling for me in the other room and this one needs this. But now it's like, oh, I get to do this. It's not like, oh, I have to do this. When I would be laying sick in bed, I'd hear my husband and the kids out in the back playing, and I was like, oh, I just want to be out there with them. I want to be like playing and running around. And now that I get to do all of this, it's just like, ugh, I'm doing it. Life is good.
We love you.
Love you.
Should we go into, oh, by the way, before we go into some of the fun things, we also put together more links to Sarah on livebeautifully.com, and which links to her email and her site, and if you have any questions. But she answers a lot more things on, like, you know, what to look for and different resources that she also had, especially if you're going through a difficult time. Mm-hmm. So thanks for joining us.
Of course. Can
we hug again?
Sure. Sorry if I stink.
Thank you so much for tuning in, and make sure you check out the style segment that followed this episode on my YouTube channel. Go to the link in the show notes. It's Katrina Scott Lifestyle, and Sarah brought over the most beautiful collection for fall, and it included the most amazing jeans that I ordered immediately after we did the segment. And we also put a little shopping boutique together, so head to that link, and thank you so much and have a great day. Love ya. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning into Live Beautifully today. I hope you loved this episode and that you feel empowered, connected, and of course, inspired to live beautifully. Make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when a new episode comes out. I love seeing your reviews and hearing how this podcast is making a positive impact on your life. So if you haven't yet, I'd love for you to leave a review. I read everything from you and it means the absolute world to me. I'll be sharing your reviews and stories on Instagram @KatrinaScott. Also, for Ask Me Anything episodes, literally anything, text me on my cell at 213-205-3604. 213-205-3604 with anything you'd like to talk about. Title your text AMA for Ask Me Anything so I can look out for your message. Thanks again for tuning in and sharing this with your girlfriends. I cannot wait to chat soon. Let's live beautifully together.